Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
What up, boy? What up, yeah?
What you know about Ray Meyer, the mad scientist of basketball who saw this clumsy seven-footer and taught him footwork and agility and touch around the basket and how to stand tall on the court, developing this George Mikan fella into a basketball pioneer?
What you know about
jumping Jim Pollard from Oakland, who was touching up top of backboards in the 40s?
What you know about
the clutchness of Sam Jones, the rebellious creativity of Red Auerbach, how Bill Russell organized a camp in Mississippi to help race relations after Medgar Evers was murdered?
What you know about
the origins of the Showtime Lakers being a nightclub in Santa Monica called The Horn? Or how Paul Westhead almost killed the dynasty before it got started?
What you know about
Chuck Daly? About number 8 Kobe? About the Silicon Valley influence on the NBA? In my new book, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, we take a look at the NBA's grand history through the lens of its dominant teams and dominant players. How not only each dynasty was built on the previous one, but how these legendary basketball teams even impacted society almost as much as the game. With popping illustrations from Yu-Ming Kwan, Dynasties is a gorgeous addition to your bookshelf or your coffee table.
It is the perfect collector's item,
both for NBA fans who want a journey through history and casual fans who want to learn more about this league they can't get enough of. Get your copy of Dynasties today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Target, Walmart, or wherever you buy books.
What you know about
Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, wherever you buy books.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
It's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge, I'm back in D.C. I was in New York briefly in Brooklyn watching the Nets whip that Wizards ass on Monday night. In the Bay, as always, my man Marcus Thompson. Marcus, what's up?
I'm so happy to be here because I almost died on Sunday.
Why did you almost die?
Because there's like a ridiculous storm in the Bay.
Yes.
And so, you know, being the diligent Bay Area columnist I am, you know, I covered the end of the 49ers, right? The the end to their season. When you lose at home in the rain to a dome team led by Carson Wentz, you're done.
Yeah.
Right? You're done. And you need to have a conversation about how y'all anointed Kyle Shanahan the boy genius.
Don't say y'all. Now,
yeah, y'all.
There wasn't no y'all here in D.C. There were some folks. It wasn't no y'all, though.
But we're so, like, not used to rain here. Like, the freeway flooded. So I'm mobbing down a freeway at, like, 12:30 at night. You know, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm trying to get home. And, man, I saw this car stop in front of me suddenly. Uh-oh. And I'm like, here we go.
Oh,
whole freeway flooded. It's a car that already, like, kind of dipped in. It was the flood had gotten like up to the window of the car. So I might have made it across. I was driving so fast, I might have just skipped across that jungle like a pond. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, I really almost died right there. Like, that was crazy. I almost didn't make it to Hoops Adjacent.
Damn. Coming home from Santa Clara.
Coming home from that debacle, right? Like, the last thing I saw was the 49ers look trash.
I was watching that game and I thought, It looked like that scene from was Any Given Sunday when they're getting their ass kicked and Willie Beeman's like terrible. Like,
oh yeah, that's exactly what they were. That is exactly what they were.
Damn.
Before we get to our guest, who is you know, my homie, can we just take a moment to shout out one of the coolest human beings in the world? And yes, I'm partial to old black men.
Yes,
right.
Me too.
That's just,
but I'm the son of one.
I was reading the Boston Globe, right, and there's a piece in there about how Dusty Baker listens to Tupac before a game. And Dusty Baker dropped "Picture Me Rolling." I'm like, Dusty Baker is the coolest dude in the world, yo.
Yes, like, there's no question.
He got ashy elbows and all, and he's still like his it. He got the toothpick. He could throw some jazz. He could tell you stories about Hank Aaron and Satchel Paige. Like, this dude is a legend, yo. I love this Dusty dude, Baker.
Dusty Baker was the most enjoyable time I've had covering baseball. I don't cover baseball a lot, but when he was here with the Nationals, that was so much fun just to sit and listen to him tell stories, you know, like, and it didn't even have to have a particular point. He would just work in like some actor he met 30 years ago and some musician and, you know, some politician or something. He was just a joy to talk to. And so when I tell people the series starts on Tuesday, we're taping on Tuesday, and I tell people I'm not rooting for the Astros, I'm rooting for Dusty Baker. Period. Nice. That's it. If he was managing the Braves, I'd be rooting for Dusty Baker. That's it. I mean, so I want him to win a World Series. I don't care what team he's on. He's amazing.
Man, I covered him when he was managing the Giants, right?
Sure, sure.
The whole Bonds era. And, you know, all that stuff was crazy. I was a young reporter then. He was always like the uncle, man.
Yeah.
You know, he made me, like, I couldn't wait to get to that age where you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
You would just be like, all right now. And then it just means so much, right? Like, Dusty would be like, all right now. And I'm like, yo, he see me. Like, this is my guy. You know? He's like, well, what's up, young fella? You know, he'd just be like, in the office, come here, young fella. You know,
yeah.
All right, who are you? What you doing here? Like, right. he was an uncle, man. That's the coolest dude in the world, man. Straight no up. Like,
and a big basketball fan. Back when
huge hoop fan, yeah.
When the Kings were good, he would go to Kings games all the time. You see him there all the time. So yeah, he was big, still is a big hoops fan, a big sports fan, just the coolest dude in the world. I agree with you.
You know who gonna grow up to be an old OG like that? One of them cool OGs? Our guest today.
You know
he already an old soul like that.
You're right. You're right.
He just need to get grayer and ashier.
You know how he got all that wisdom? Because he had to cover Westbrook every day for about 8 years. Oh.
which is therapy, right? Like, that's, you're literally faced with stuff. You got to figure it out. Because I should have two-pieced this dude.
Right?
What's the best way to go about it, right?
Our man, Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic in Chicago. Welcome to the show, my man.
I appreciate y'all having me, man. It's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you gentlemen.
Man, it's so good to see you, man. I'm happy you're covering a 4-0 team. This excites me. This makes me feel good because in the summertime, when they got DeRozan, some of my friends in the business were just apoplectic. Oh, they gave him so many draft picks. What's the matter? And I pointed out to them, I said, you know how many games the Bulls have won the last 4 years? 104. In 4 years combined. So please stop telling me about draft picks.
Is that regular season and playoffs?
No, it's regular season. Oh, that's right. They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a good point.
It's been
Marcus.
Bad. It's been bad. And here's, I mean, so Zach LaVine's first 4-game winning streak of his career happened last night.
Damn. Oh, my God. Is that right?
This is wild, yo.
That's crazy.
That is wild. I was looking it up. They haven't been 4 games above 500 since like 2018. Right. I was like, geez. Right. This is crazy.
It's been bad. They won 31 wins. They had 31 wins last year, and that was their high water mark since in the Zach LaVine era. You know, obviously they made that Jimmy Butler trade in 2017. That was my first year here on the beat in Chicago, and I can't believe how bad the Bulls have been as a franchise this entire time. And so I'm with you, DA. The fact that they went out and got Vucevic, I didn't love that trade and all they gave up, but they needed some help.
Yeah.
And then the DeRozan deal happened. They gave up a lot for him, but they needed some more help. The Vucevic right. deal backfired on them. They didn't even make the play-in tournament. Right. Last season. So it was clear that they needed a ton more in the cupboard here in Chicago, and they got it, and it's off to a great start. And now you can see the vision sort of materializing slowly. They haven't played anybody yet, but this whole start feels really good to a lot of Bulls fans.
Yeah.
It was 2016, D.A. November 25th, 2016 was the last time the Bulls were four games above 500.
5 years ago.
Damn. I was going to say, Marcus, 2018. I don't remember. Yeah, that
didn't happen. That's amazing.
For a team like the Bulls, you know what I mean? Like a franchise like the Bulls that has been, was royalty for many years. And in the Jordan era, but even the Derrick Rose years was pretty damn good and interesting in a contending team. This is the predicate I always give about Chicago, about why it matters, why it's more important for the Bulls to win in Chicago for a few reasons. But the first reason why is because it's goddamn cold in Chicago. That's why. It gets cold in the wintertime. It's not like it's here when it's here in D.C., like when it gets to be like 31 and everybody loses their minds. You know what I mean? Like, it's cold in Chicago in the wintertime. It's really, really cold. And so for people to put on their coats and get in the car and drive to Chicago United Center, I said Chicago Stadium because I'm old, drive to United Center and plunk down a couple of bills to take their kids to see a game and buy them a hot dog and a Coke and do it on the regular, by the way, because up until last year or so, the Bulls were always number one in attendance in the NBA, year after year after year. You got to give people a reason to do that, okay? You have to give people a reason to spend the money and freeze their ass off to see a 30-win team, a 22-win team? No! Why would you be surprised that they don't want to do that. So you have why? To put you a good product on it? The floor.
You know why they do it? Because the other team is the Bears.
Right. No, you're right. Right. No, that's true. It doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm frankly happy because after years where they just didn't seem to care about free agency, look, whatever you think about DeRozan, he's older. They shouldn't have given it to him. At least, you know, Arturis Kanishevis and Mark Eversley, at least they're going after free agents now. You know what I mean? At least they're trying to do something and they're bringing guys in. They get Caruso from the Lakers. And I think on a reasonable deal, by the way. So at least they're trying to draw people to a, you know, top five market size franchise.
And the thing is, the Bulls fans do have something to cheer for now. Zach LaVine has turned into an all-star when he faced a lot of criticism in this city. Yeah. People thinking he couldn't be the number one option and carry a franchise. He's showing that he can do that if you put the right pieces around him. This is the best team he's ever had. DeMar DeRozan is a four-time all-star. Vucevic is a two-time all-star. So these guys have experience. These guys are professional veterans who've been around and know how to play the game. The Bulls just haven't had that in previous years, and that's why it's been such a struggle. And I do think that as fans catch up to what they've brought in, the Alex Caruso, the Lonzo Balls, they're going to wrap their arms around this team because it's a fun and exciting team. You can say whatever you want about the business end of it, how they acquired these guys and maybe what that portends for their future, but on the court right now, it's the most fun that they've had since Derrick Rose has been here. So it's exciting to see where they're going. And the start, I can't stress enough, one that people really didn't expect because this schedule is about to really toughen up for the Bulls. But this start, I can't stress enough how excited people are to see the way that they're playing. I mean, defense is really carrying this team right now. You think of all of the players that I just mentioned, they're offensive players, but the defense is really what's driving the Bulls right now. And it's been impressive to watch their defense turn into offense.
See Darnell, I was one of those people who didn't, I don't understand why people don't see the Bulls as a threat. And I get the history of it, but if you just look at the way the league is played, you need to be able to score from the perimeter and you need to be able to defend the perimeter. That's the two things you need. Like, they can do both, and they have multiple pieces to do both. And watching how Zach LaVine played in the Olympics, like you could see that people come from that experience where you're playing with legends, you're playing with greats, you don't come back the same. When, as you're watching him, how different is Zach LaVine? He's shooting 50% from the field. He's shooting 40% from three, but he looked like he might be trying on defense.
Oh, he's really trying. And that's the biggest thing. I'm so glad you mentioned his defense, Marcus, because that's the thing that people don't really talk about and they take for granted, or maybe just flat out just dog him for it. And there are times when Zach doesn't give maximum effort defensively. But last year, even before the Olympics, you saw him take on a more concerted effort on that end and really try to buckle down and focus for the better part of 48 minutes. He still had lapses, but you saw that then go into the Olympics where people started giving him a lot of credit and saying, okay, well, you put these other teammates around him where he's got offensive weapons. This is maybe what he can do defensively. And so now with DeRozan around him, with Lonzo Ball, and Vucevic, and I'd even throw Caruso in there. And Kobe White's not even healthy for this team yet. So they're going to get a lot more fun and interesting when Kobe White comes back as a scoring threat off the bench. But Zach LaVine is chasing his man around screens. He's keeping up with him in isolation, which he's always been a solid isolation defender. It's off the ball, and he's doing a lot more to give better effort, whether it's chasing his man off of screens or fighting through oncoming screens. It's just a night and day different between the old Zach LaVine who just wanted to get his points and the new Zach LaVine who is really doing anything he can.
Yeah, you wrote today, good story in The Athletic, if you want people want to read about it, just about how now you can tell when somebody's not giving multiple effort defensively. And just what kind of sea change that is from this franchise from just a year or so ago. I'm not going, you know, without naming names, they were not a multiple effort defensive team. They just weren't. And just how different that is for them.
Man, leave Vucevic alone.
Come on now. I'm not mentioning no.
Hey, you calling out Dusty Baker's ashiness. Vucevic's defense. but no, D.A., I do think that that is the big difference. I mean, we saw it. I hate to bring Jim Boylan into the conversation, but we saw defensive tenacity from those Jim Boylan teams just with the aggressiveness that he implemented in the scheme and the strategy. Mm-hmm. They were hard hedging and trapping pick and rolls with their big man and that sort of thing. And they were leading to a lot of steals, deflections, and run out opportunities. Now, they're not as aggressive, but their length and their athleticism in the backcourt, DeRozan, LaVine, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, I mean, these guys are getting after it to where Lonzo Ball had a possession the other night against, I think it was OG Anunoby, where he wouldn't let him dribble almost. Like he couldn't even get to where he was trying to go, and he just shut him down for the entire possession. He went over a screen, fought through a screen that OG tried to use and kept up with him, and then cut off his drive, mm-hmm. kept up with him, and forced a pass that I think led to a turnover. So that's the type of scenes and situations that the Bulls are creating so many times this season. And you're seeing Lonzo Ball, you're seeing Alex Caruso lead the way. And if DeRozan and LaVine aren't with it, they're going to stand out for the wrong reasons. And so that's what I meant by the second and third efforts. These guys are now giving it because they're going to look bad on film if they don't.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
One of the reasons I'm super high on Chicago is actually Lonzo, right? In addition to Zach being old enough and in the league long enough to value more than just like getting your buckets and getting your money, it's the addition of Lonzo just feels like the visionary and point guard and just kind of glue guy they needed. What's that been like, the having the ball experience in Chicago up close? And when can we expect to sit down with Papa Ball and, you know, your big baller brand jumpsuit that you're going to be wearing pretty soon?
Hey, I'm here for the free swag. If they got it, I'm here for it. But if it was interesting because at one of the home games they had over the weekend, LeVar was there. I think, you know, his wife was there, Alonzo's mom. Mm-hmm. And I think LiAngelo was there with them. They were sitting across the court from us in a courtside seat. And we barely knew that they were in town. The camera, the Jumbotron showed him, and it was really the only way that I knew that he was in town. He got on the Jumbotron, gave a couple fist pumps, and that was that. But, you know, the Lonzo Ball experience from a playing standpoint, from him on the court, it's been incredible. Like, I looked at Lonzo coming in as not the answer offensively. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it completely wrong. I should have been looking at him from a defensive impact standpoint, because that's what he's really brought to this team. He's the fourth scoring option. You've got LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic, probably in that order, and then Ball gets it how he can get it. So the most impressive thing to me with Lonzo has been how he's locked up guys defensively on the perimeter, and not just on the perimeter. I mean, he's guarding bigger players and trying to shut them down as well. He guarded Jeremy Grant from the Pistons. He guarded Brandon Ingram from the Pelicans. You know, he was guarding some taller players from the Raptors. Siakam was out, but he had Scottie Barnes and OG Anunoby, some bigger, stronger guys, and getting blocks in the post, coming down, helping and getting blocks. So different things that Lonzo Ball is doing. This generating stops for this team, turning them into one of the best defensive teams in the league, and then using that to create offense has been the Lonzo Ball experience here in Chicago.
Where is how is Billy Donovan using Patrick Williams this year? Is he staying at the four? Is he playing some five? What's he doing with him?
He's doing a little bit of both, mostly at the four. He's tried him at the five a little bit. Pistons had Kelly Olynyk there at the five. So in those types of situations, he feels that Patrick Williams can get away with small ball center minutes. And he feels like he can make good reads and orchestrate a little bit in that small ball center position. He likes some of the things that he's seen. But Patrick Williams just hasn't been all that impressive in the first four games. And that's just the honest to goodness truth. He got outplayed by his fellow Florida State alum Scottie Barnes the other night, and Scottie Barnes looked like Scottie clearly Barnes the nice better player.
Yes, no. Scottie Barnes gonna do that to a lot of people now.
So, it's been a slow start, but I will say, in Patrick Williams' defense, he had a severely sprained left ankle right before the start of the season that kept him out of all but the final preseason game, mm-hmm. and so he was slow to get into this season, and so who knows where his conditioning is and how he is really feeling physically. He also had a little shoulder injury that occurred early in that season opener at Detroit. So between the ankle and the shoulder, he may not be 100%, but you got to get some rebounds. He didn't get any rebounds against Toronto. So things like that, you need to see Patrick Williams take that next step. We're talking about Scottie Barnes in his third game, showing that he's the truth. So Patrick Williams has got to start showing something.
Okay, I got the Patrick Williams apology statement here. I'm gonna play the role of Patrick Williams apologist. I do think part of the thing that concerns me about Chicago's depth and bench. I think they need Kobe And they need Patrick Williams in that second unit where he can be free. Last year, when nobody cared, he was free to do whatever he wants. Like, he was free. He got the ball. Like, you know, he's trying to figure out like how to play off the ball. He pump fakes a lot on open shots, like far too much. You can just tell the hesitancy. I think he's just trying to feel his way out. But I want to see, man, get Kobe back. Put Patrick Williams in that second unit and see how you can kind of generate some type of like a secondary shift where he's more free. It's going to be tough for him to – he's got to be a slasher, finisher, cutter when he's playing on the floor with Levine, DeRozan and all that. And that's probably a little bit different than what he expected. So I'm giving him a pass. Am I being too kind?
No, you're not. You bring up some valid points, but your first one is the one that's driving Bulls fans crazy. Why is he pump faking so much?
Why is he pump faking so much?
Because he can't jump right now if he's got an ankle, right?
Well, there's some truth to that maybe. And also, he's got a very slow release. It looks good mechanically. It looks fine, but it's very slow. It's a very high arcing release. So, I think he feels like maybe he needs time or else he's going to get blocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Darnell, like I want, you know, I've given, and I think rightly so, given Karnišević and the front office credit for kind of recognizing what they need to do. But that does not mean, you know, they didn't maybe misstep last year. I mean, they tried it the veteran way. They had Otto Porter there. They had Garrett Temple in there, bunch of vets. And professionals by every account. I mean, professional guys that know how to practice, know how to get ready to play. And I know they were trying to teach the young guys something, but they got off of that really quick. Have they kind of acknowledged, maybe we either overvalued our young guys that we're trying to bring up and we need to get some vets in here, or the vets we had in here last year didn't have quite enough left tread on the tires?
Yeah, I mean, they've been transparent from the start that they didn't look at this as a rebuild, and instead they looked at it as a retool. And also that they didn't want to come in here, and they did talk a lot about player development. And I think most execs and coaches come in and kind of spew those cliches, but, you know, they wanted to win. And that was very clear that their mission was to win sooner rather than later. And I don't think anyone thought that they would be this aggressive in turning over the roster. And you know, they got rid of some solid young players who no one in Chicago is going to really think twice about now. When you talk about Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., those types of guys, Daniel Gafford out there in D.C., still think they would be really good with Daniel Gafford right now. But they're in win now mode, and they've been transparent about that from the start. The shocking part is that they did kind of punt on player development really fast. The only real true young guys they have now, Patrick Williams and Kobe White.
Right.
And Kobe White at this point, I mean, you're seeing how much this roster needs him as a scoring threat off the bench. But his role is not so certain. He's going to be coming up for a contract extension soon. Right. And they just gave Alex Caruso the full mid-level. They just gave Lonzo Ball a bunch of money. They just paid DeMar DeRozan a bunch of money. So there's only so much they can go around. And, oh, by the way, Zach LaVine's up for a contract extension now, too.
Right. So, yeah, what are the tea leaves on that? Where do you think that's heading? You know, and it's four games in, obviously. It's way too early. But, I mean, I think nationally the view is he's going to take the bag just because the bag's too big not to take. But what do you think?
Yeah, Zach has said he wants the bag. He said that he is – he wants every penny that he's earned and that he feels he's worth. So I'd be surprised if he takes anything less than a maximum contract offer, whether that's from the Bulls or someone else who creates space, remains to be seen. The Bulls have said all the right things and wanting to keep him and seeing him as a pillar piece in this franchise. And they did have to do a lot of things this offseason to maneuver and get the roster to where it is. That may have prevented them from getting to a point where they could extend Zach, and he can also make more money. So there are reasons for why this thing hasn't gotten done. But until it's done, and you guys know, it's never a done deal until the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So I'm a little less optimistic that Zach is guaranteed to have a future in Chicago than some others here, just because of that reason. I mean, they've gone out and done a lot. They've spent a lot of money, and Zach also hasn't proven that he can lead a playoff caliber team. He's proving that he can be a terrific option as one of your main guys. But are they going to pay him upwards of $200 million and he hasn't proven that he can be the go-to guy in the playoffs? That's a question that management has to ask themselves.
You know, they're about to find out because they're going to make the playoffs this year. I think I told you this already, Darnell. But so I'm looking.
Shout out to Marcus. You were the most optimistic. And at the time, I couldn't see it. I needed to see them on the court. But I give Marcus credit. He was called this in
called
the summer.
Called it early. Called his shot.
So Brooklyn is better. Milwaukee is better. Atlanta is better. And I'll say Miami is better.
Right.
How many more teams better than the Bulls in the East, though?
I mean, Philly. I think Philly's better.
Philly's better, so that's fine. So we look at 6th seed for the Bulls. Not play-in tournament. 6th seed for the Bulls. Come on, Darnell. How off am I here?
Man, y'all gonna roast me. But
you don't believe in the Knicks.
I'm thinking a little higher than 6, perhaps.
What? Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Marcus, you got some. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Atlanta. And, yes, Atlanta, you know, conference finalists, nice young pieces, well-respected coach in McMillan. I like what I see in Atlanta. But if you put Lonzo Ball on Trae Young, from what I'm seeing out of Lonzo Ball, and they got to stop LaVine and DeRozan and Vooch, I'm not saying the Bulls are better than the Hawks, but I'm putting them in the same category. So
in that like second tier group?
Yeah. I mean, after, put it this way, after Brooklyn and Milwaukee, no one else scares me. That's not to say that I think the Bulls can or will get the 3rd seed, but no one else scares me. I would put Miami in that league because of Spo and Jimmy and Kyle Lowry and those guys, but the Bulls are really they're off to such a good start, and they're building momentum. They're building chemistry. These guys are gelling, and I think that's gonna help them and benefit them as this season goes on.
All right, I'm gonna pump everybody.
Yeah, for the record, that's way too high for me. Like, I'm hopping off after the 5th seed, buddy. You start getting 4 and 3, I'm hopping off. I'm off.
They ain't played nobody yet. Come on, Daddy.
Okay.
I'm not saying
it's going to happen. I'm just saying.
He's just saying it's possible. He's just saying it's
possible. And Milwaukee.
He just said it's possible.
Look, I'm a big DeRozan guy, and I love him because he stuck to who he is instead of, you know, jumping on the 3-point train and I got to shoot threes now. No, I'm going to do what I do and still be a great player. But what is still in, you know, up for grabs in your mind, Darnell, as you look at this team as the schedule gets tougher? What is it you'll be looking for?
Well, I do need to see more out of their bench and their depth. You know, DeRozan right now has been staggered with LaVine.
And Billy got to play these dudes.
these guys got to go out there and play. I'm not even putting that on Billy yet. You know, they're missing Kobe White. I'm looking forward to seeing him when he gets back, probably around late November, maybe early December. We'll see. Rebounding, their size is an issue. So, rebound. I mean, they got out rebounded by the Raptors by 20.
I don't understand why is he playing Alize Johnson over Bradley?
Tony Bradley.
Yeah, like to me, that's what you need, especially when you got Vucevic as your start center. That dude coming in after him needs to be a defender, a shot blocker, rim protector.
So Tony Bradley had a little hip flexor, minor ailment in the preseason. It cost him to miss a lot of time. And I just don't think Billy trusts him at this point because he hasn't seen him. Mm. And Alize Johnson, to his credit, I mean, he's like a little Dennis Rodman out there. He goes out there and rebounds and battles and scraps and gets you second chance opportunities. So, he does a little bit that they need. in terms of rebounding the ball and playing some defense. So right. Billy does have some decisions to make, though. Derrick Jones Jr. is another one.
Well, I was going to say, you got Derrick Jones and Troy Brown on the bench. And are either of those guys, you know, sniffing any minutes at all?
Troy Brown is. He had a little oral issue, something with his mouth that was going on. He said it was an Invisalign issue that caused some sores, and he couldn't eat.
Invisalign issue?
Yeah, he couldn't eat and drop some weight, and it was a bad look going into the season opener.
Wow.
So Ayo Dosunmu, the rookie out of Illinois, second-round draft pick, got some of the minutes Troy Brown was supposed to play, but that's now shifted back to Troy Brown. And, you know, he's capable, but he needs to be consistent, and I think that's what
the knock.
That's what all the coaches are looking for in this league, right? So if those guys can prove that they can be consistent, I don't think Billy Donovan's going to have a problem going to.
Wow. Invisalign issue.
That's interesting.
One time Jeff Malone missed a game because of contact lens irritation. I thought that was the all-timer. But Invisalign issues may be. Maybe may top
that sound like I don't like the coach.
Here we go.
Let me make up something.
How are they playing locally? Like, you know, I know it's the Blackhawks are town and people go crazy over the Blackhawks, but they stink now. So there's a wide open boulevard for the Bulls to kind of capture that winter sports momentum. How are people believing it? Or are they like skeptical?
Yeah, it's good to be Jerry Reinsdorf right now. I mean, the Cubs kind of threw in the towel. The Bears got Justin Fields, which everyone's excited about. But, you know, they're third in the NFC North right now.
Yeah, they stink.
And they play the Niners next. Let's go.
There you go, Mark. And like you said, the Blackhawks are terrible right now. So the White Sox, which Jerry Reinsdorf owns, for those who don't know, and the Bulls are the teams on the come up. So the Bulls are really they have an opportunity right now to grab this city and allow these fans to wrap their arms around them. And again, I mean, Alex Caruso is getting MVP chance, gentlemen.
Oh, we know what that is.
Loud. Come on now. MVP chance in Chicago. So
that's that north side.
Yeah, that is mostly the north
side. That's that north side.
but that just goes to show you that, I mean, there is passion. There is great passion still in this city for Bulls basketball.
Sure.
And the Bulls have a prime opportunity to tap into it.
Yeah. So they got Knicks, Jazz, Celtics, 76ers twice. That's five. Nets again, Dallas, and then a five-game West Coast road trip. So in these next, what is that, three, five, six, seven, the next 12 games.
We'll find out.
How many wins they get?
I mean, look,
I'm saying 7-5. Let's go.
Yeah, 6-6 I think they'll be okay with. That would make them 10-4. No, 10-4.
10-10.
Yeah. No, 10-4. Thank you.
Oh, 10-6. Right.
10-6. Yeah, I know I'm tripping somewhere. And that's a good start for what most of us said was a brutal start to this season from a scheduling standpoint. So, it's helped. They played the Pistons twice without Cade Cunningham. They played the Pelicans without Zion. They played the Raptors without Pascal Siakam. So they benefited from some other teams' misfortune. But that's what the schedule brings, right? So I'm sure the Bulls are going to go through it at some point. Right now, they're collecting wins, and they're coming for that third seed.
Six wins is going to be tough. Yeah. 6 wins is going to be tough.
We'll have you back on in a month. And by that time, the schedule, I noticed you're in L.A. for a weekend in mid-November. So where are you and Russ going to go to hang out?
That was my next question. That literally was my next question.
Y'all are really trying to get these Russ fans out. Let's get this. I'm so glad to be done with them. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. I wish Russ nothing but the best in LA.
Look, man, they play the Lakers on the 15th on the back to back, right? The second end of a back to back. So they not gonna practice on the 16th, right? So man, y'all got plenty of time to kick it before you go to Portland.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, you can go to Portland day of. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't even trip. Right?
I'm going to get to the Nike store if I go day of.
Definitely. Now you got the off day the next day. Go to 18th. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's true. This up, hey, I appreciate so this. 15th, I got some travel agents over here.
There you go.
16th, you and Russ kicking it.
Exactly.
And you can, like, counsel him on.
I don't even know the hot spot in LA no more. So,
how do you feel watching Russ right now? Like, what goes to mind when you see Russ play, and you know, especially the struggles he's had so far?
Yeah, it's just different because his game has had to be altered so much. I mean, there's times when he goes entire possessions without even touching the ball, standing in the corner. I mean, what? And that was the thing. I mean, I don't even blame Russ for that. I mean, the Lakers. If the reports were true and they had a chance to get Buddy Hield, I don't understand why they went for the star power as opposed to a better fit. I mean, who would you rather be kicking out to if you're Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook or Buddy Hield? So he's doing, I think, the best he can. I was watching that game against the Grizzlies the other night, and I think Russ had 15 assists that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he's still getting his teammates involved, and he was throwing some gorgeous lob passes and dump off passes to his bigs and just finding his teammates. So he's doing, I think, the best he can from where his skill set is now. He's just not a shooter. And that, I think, no. is his fatal flaw. And it could be the Lakers' fatal flaw ultimately.
Yeah, no, I think I believe he will do the right thing most of the time. I really do. I don't think he's a selfish player in that sense at all. And this is his only chance. This is his last chance to win a ring. This is it. He knows it. We all know it. Like, there's not going to be another chance like this one. So I think he will try to do the right thing. But to your point, it just doesn't matter if it's a swing and the ball's with him. You know, it's just not a knockdown shooter. Just never has been, you know. So you got to figure out different ways for him to contribute when he's not on the ball or catching it. You know what I mean? He's got to figure out a decoy that works. And I don't know what that is. I'm not pretending I do know what it is. But that's the task to me for Frank Vogel, is figuring out the best way to utilize Westbrook when he's not on the ball and dominating it. Because he's not a catch-and-shoot guy. He never has been.
I'm just proud of Darnell for issuing some Westbrook praise.
Exactly.
And supporting, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why you're a good dude, man. That's why you're the next Dusty Baker, man. Like,
you know, ashy elbows and everything.
You know what I'm saying? don't even say hi no more. Just be like, all right. All right now.
Oh, man. Darnell, thank you, man. Appreciate you stopping in, man. It's always good to see you. I'm glad you got a fun team to cover finally in Chicago, because I know what that's like, man. Believe me. When your team sucks. When it's November 1 and the season's over already.
It's done. Yeah, it's done.
That ain't no fun.
And we back out here. We back. Right? It's another undefeated team, Darnell. We out here. The buzz is happening. Oh, this is the Atlanta dream. But I'm talking about the Warriors, 3-0.
Oh, the Warriors.
Everybody's like, uh-oh.
When is Clay? What's the word on Clay? When is he coming back?
I just don't see Clay sitting out Christmas Day.
No, I don't see.
Like, the only reason it might not happen because it's on the road, and I think his first game is going to be at home.
Where are they on Christmas?
They're in Phoenix on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay.
So he might get a game in before then, but
yeah,
I just don't see him not being on the court Christmas Day,
right?
Unless he's not healthy, then at that point, it could end up being February after the All-Star break if he's not ready to play by then.
Right.
But he said he won't play before a year out from the surgery. The surgery was November 25th. So he still has another month.
So it won't be any time before then.
Yeah. And then after that, it's just about how he feels. But
okay.
I mean, I've been watching Clay work out, man. Clay looked like he wanted to get out there. Like, he looked like he ready. He wants some smoke. Now, I don't know what his Achilles might be barking at him, but looks like he wants the smoke.
No.
Hey, DA, real quick, because Clay, this made me think of it. Clay is griping that he felt like he belonged on the All-NBA 75th player list. Who did you say had the biggest gripe? Sam Smith out here said Dwight Howard does not have a gripe. And that shocked me. So who would you say had the biggest
gripe? No, I would. Well, he has a gripe. I don't know if it's the biggest gripe. I put Dwight Howard on my ballot. I don't think I'm telling any secrets here. Because, I mean, look, the body of work, he's a three-time defensive player of the year. Come on. I mean, that's not nothing. And he was a multiple-time All-Star when he was healthy and got his team to a finals and was a dominant top 10 level player for multiple seasons. Now, all the other stuff, you don't want to put him in because of that. That you can make up your own minds on that. I'm not going to ding a guy because personally he does things that I disagree with. You know what I mean? On the court, he was great for a long time. So I had him on mine, but I don't know. I would, Alex English is also another one that I just really am like, man, y'all just don't know how good Alex English was. Like, you know, people just act like you could just score 25 anytime you feel like it. And you can't, because it's really hard to do that every night. And he did it for like 9 years in a row, you know, on some good but not great Nuggets teams. So to me, those would be my bigger snubs. I mean, honestly, Klay Thompson is not a top 75 player of all time.
He's not a top 75. And it's not even a diss.
I mean, that, exactly. I mean, what are we talking about? Like he's a really good player. Nobody's saying he's not a really great good player.
He's
like,
a Hall of Famer. Yes. He's not one of the 75 greatest players of all time.
That's all I'm like, saying.
What are we talking about?
Like you're a hater if you say Klay Thompson's not one of the 75 best players in the history of basketball? Like, no, that's ridiculous. Come on.
Klay knows his history too, right, Marcus? I mean, Klay's a student of the game, isn't he?
I think, in Klay's defense, he is definitely top 75 at the object of the game.
Yes, right? Like, of course. He's like,
I would understand putting a little bit extra value on that. Like, right. You know, yo, the game is about putting the ball in the hole. Yeah. You can't find 75 players better than right. I get it.
Right.
But, I mean, look, the exception, and I think he might have an argument for the Scottie Pippen exception. But, like, you got to carry a team.
Yeah.
You got to carry a team. You got to know what that feels like to be like, if you fail, it's over.
Right.
And they've been playing together for 10 years. There's not 1 year where you could say, he had a better year than Steph.
That's what I was going to say. If you can tell me, you know, Klay Thompson was really better than Steph. All right, I'll listen to the argument. I won't agree with it, but I'll listen to it. But you can't even say that with a straight face. Like, nobody can say that with a straight face. Like, the guy's clearly better.
And that's not a knock, though. Like, that's the part. Like, it's like Scottie Pippen is on it, right? And he wasn't the best player on his team. So there is, like, a window for it.
Right, right. But Scottie Pippen was the best defensive player in the league for like 7 years.
And he's playing next to the greatest player of all time, right? Like, so I understand the argument. You got recency bias. You got the dude can shoot. He's got championships. Like, the resume, I get it. But, man, look, D.A. Masanup, you just talking about I'm putting together dudes who can play ball. You picking prime Grant Hill over Klay? I am 1,000%.
I'm telling you.
Prime Grant Hill was a monster.
Pre-hurt, pre-injury Grant Hill?
A monster. Like, people are sleeping.
I can't even say
it.
It's a 12-letter word. Pre-injury Grant Hill. Oh, my God.
He was unbelievable. He was top three. He was a top three player in the league. Not top 10. Like, it was Jordan. Yeah. It was Grant Hill. Like, he was up there. You was, man. Grant Hill and the Pistons unit with the – With just, the horse?
Just Google Grant Hill, Alonzo Mourning, and see what you find.
Yeah, so, yo, Grant Hill was a beast, yo. I think people sleep on. I understand he didn't win a title. And right, I get it.
He got hurt. He didn't play long enough.
Yep. Grant Hill before, bro. That dude was a monster.
Pre-injury? No. Yes.
Shout out to my play cousin, Clay, though. He's number 77 in the song.
We appreciate you, man. Love the convo. Love the chat. And please, all of y'all, leave that 5-star review on Google, on Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Marcus, tell the folks, if you can't do 5 stars, what should they do with it?
Then you should go spend a winter in Chicago. Because that's where haters belong. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep it to yourself. 5 stars or keep it to yourself. Exactly. This is Hoops Adjacent. We a 5-star organization.
Later.